The reading comes from Revelation 21. John said he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, and God prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" And so reads the word of God. And before Martin comes and shares that with us, I'd like to pray for Martin and for us. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to come and look more deeply into these wonderful words. And as much as Martin has prepared and studied and cross-referenced his verses and his chapters, and we thank you for all of that. But we ask, Lord God, that you will add a spark of heaven, and as much as Martin's words can communicate your truths, we will rejoice in that. But Lord, if you have to speak in a heavenly language to our hearts, well, do that as well, so that hope might replace all of our uncertainties, all of our pains, all of our sadnesses. For we thank you that this earth is, and our earthly journey is, but part of our progress toward you in glory. So speak through our brother, Lord. Thank you for him. And we ask your blessing now as we come to Martin's sermon. I could have said that you were the RNLI representative and that there will be no sea in the New Jerusalem.
It could be a problem, couldn't it, really?
I thought it could be.
In one of, I'm a bit loud. Is that okay? Everybody hear me okay? I won't speak too loudly because I'll probably deafen you all, but we don't worry about that. Anyway, I'm Martin. I'm one of the lay ministers here. So if you don't know me, that's who I am. If you're here for the first time, you are very, very welcome. If you're visiting, you're welcome. If you've been here for years and years and years, you're still very welcome. As we're going to see, everyone is welcome in the Lord's kingdom. I'm just going to read a very short piece. Paul mentioned about cross-referencing everything, so I had a look at different versions of the Bible to see what they said. And one of them gives this sort of insight into what's just been said in that reading before we move on. It said, "John sees an amazing sight. It is something no one has ever seen before, nor will ever see until that day arrives. Scene by scene, by blessed scene passes before the prophet. Finally, he is transported to the end of history, only to discover it is no end at all. It's a new beginning. The prophecies, every last one of them, are coming true. God's plan will be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven when the new Jerusalem comes down and he lives among his people. All things will become new. Anybody remember what it was last week? Easter. Someone's awake. Right, good. It was Easter last week, and we haven't moved on far from that. And before our memories of last Easter and Easter Sunday fade away, I want us to remind ourselves what the glorious message of Easter is. That Christ's mission did not end on the cross. Anybody who knows me knows I have a little bit of a problem with church iconography. I'm not very keen on it, to be honest, for a whole variety of reasons. You have your own view. And I much prefer to see an empty cross, because we do not worship a Christ who's still nailed to a cross. He said at that point, it is finished. Interesting, those words appear in that reading. Again, it is finished. Christ had finished what he had been sent to do up to that point. He had beaten evil, he had beaten Satan. But the cross is empty. And we celebrated last Sunday that he reappeared to the disciples many times, and he is now in heaven. After 3 days, he appeared, triumphing over death, paying the price if sacrificed for us, should we choose to accept it. Yes, we are Easter people. Might be a good name for a get-together, wouldn't it, really? Easter people. Anybody thought of that? Easter people. Anyway, where we go. So we're going to do this again. In some churches, they do this every single Sunday of Easter. Now, I'm not on service next week. I'll be here. I don't know whether they'll do it. But so we get it absolutely, totally into our brains, and we don't forget it for the rest of the year, let's stand up and make the proclamation we made last week. It's the Easter greeting. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Please sit down. Yes. And also, Matt went on to explain this to us. We have a 3G, interesting, it's phone day. Hopefully not too many people are still on 3G on their phones. But in terms of our spirituality, we have a living hope that we are grounded in mercy. We've been gained through the resurrection of Christ, and we're guaranteed for eternity. Interesting about being guaranteed for eternity. Anyway, the reading that he also gave us, we'll come to that in a moment, was this one. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that shall never perish, spoil or fade. That inheritance is kept in heaven for you. An inheritance that will never perish, spoil or fade. That's what we did last week. So how are we shielded by God's power? Well, in the Living Bible, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. We are shielded by God's power because he has given us this Holy Spirit, the Advocate. John 16, Jesus says, "But I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate can't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in him. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." So Jesus says if he doesn't go back to the Father, he cannot send his Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know why that's the case, but we can praise the Lord that he didn't leave us on our own. He does not leave us to do this stuff to serve him, to be out there in the world on our own. He does it. We do that through the power of the Spirit. We are to look for the fruits of the Spirit and for the gifts of the Spirit, and search those earnestly with the Lord. And this thing about being guaranteed for the future. We read this from Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So if you believe the Lord Christ is your Savior, then God has planted within you that seal of the Holy Spirit. Not might, not will, but has. And it's there as a guarantee. In times of trouble, illness, whatever, doubt, persecution, joy, hope, within us is stamped a seal of the Holy Spirit. Now, I try to think of that as I do like visual aids. I would have brought a glass with me, but from this distance, you'd have had difficulty seeing what's in it. Basically, what you can do with an iPhone. We seem to have an iPhone day today, don't we? And a drinking glass, that's got a letter P stamped in the bottom. It's been molded into that piece of glass. And it doesn't really matter how many times you put that through the dishwasher, or scrub it by hand, or have a go with a Brillo pad, you will not get that P off. It's there, it's fixed, that letter. There's another little symbol underneath as well, which I couldn't quite read. But don't worry about that. Next time you get a glass and you see that sign, or might have a manufacturer's name, or you're doing the dishwasher and your cup has got a name on the bottom, just remember, that's what the Lord has done to us. He has put his seal in our souls so that we are we are guaranteed through to his redemption. And doesn't matter where we go, what happens, that cannot be removed. It's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the day of redemption. And John gets this picture of a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, as Paul's pointed out, someone who's interested in things to do with marine activities, most of my family history apparently is something to do with the sea, and someone who works for the lifeboat service and gets involved down at the yacht club, having no sea might be a slight problem for me, but I'm sure the Lord is going to provide something else if he doesn't provide an alternative thing to do stuff on. Apparently, it's because the Jews had a thing but the sea was not a particularly nice place. It was something slightly evil. And in fact, if you watch some of the stuff we put out on the lifeboat service, we know that the sea can be very evil and very unforgiving, and it doesn't care. And it often takes people who perhaps didn't pay quite so much attention as they should have done. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. This is described as a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, so in its glory, looking as attractive and beautiful as it possibly can for the church. I find this passage a little difficult, actually, not because of what it says, because of when I used it before. When my father was unconscious and finally dying of pancreatic cancer, I read this verse to him, because I couldn't think of what else to read to him. I didn't know if he heard me. I pray that he did. And I hope that one day he will thank me for reading it to him in his final moments. But I was intrigued to know that I'd been asked to preach on this particular verse, and I just thought I'd share that with you. That it's a sign of, it's a picture of what is to come. Whatever's going on now, and we can look at the news regularly and think, goodness me, Lord, what is going on now? Whatever is going on now, a new heaven and a new earth, the Lord will wipe it away. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I am making everything new. those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. So throughout Revelation, God has given John visions of the future, visions which many people have spent hours and days and books and volumes and all sorts of things trying to explain. And as somebody once pointed out at a course, if they'd actually spent their time spreading the gospel, it probably would have all come in slightly earlier, because there's just so much stuff out there. And you use it with your care as you will. But whatever we think is going to happen, God is bringing in a new heaven, a new earth. And there'll be lots of things that God's described before that happens. But the important thing is that just as John feels that the vision of the end times is coming to a finale, as we've said before in the reading earlier, what looks like the end turns out to be the beginning. Glorious beginning, where all the things which are wrong with the life we live in now, where sin and pain and death and crying is wiped away. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Right. On the basis this is apparently iPhone Sunday, or phone Sunday, should I say, other phones are available. I thought I'd put in a quick description of quantum mechanics. If you've got the next 5 or 6 hours, we could delve into how it all works. It always amazes me how people would know how their phone actually works, but having done a physics degree, I sort of know-ish. But we won't do that. Yes. Let me get the right page here. But what will this heaven be like? We've read it out. I don't know any more than you do, because I only read the same passage you've got. God doesn't go beyond that to tell us what heaven will be like. But I can only believe it's really, really, really good. Or if not, why did Jesus go through all that pain and suffering on the cross? I'm quite keen on books on Roman sort of history novel type books. And I've read a few fairly horrific ones recently, which I probably won't continue with. But one of them described the act of crucifixion. And I've always wondered, if you go back to the story of Jesus' crucifixion, that the Roman soldiers said they didn't break his legs because he was already dead. And I thought, well, what's that about? And apparently, when you were crucified, you had the choice of the pain in your legs as you stood on the nails in your feet so you could breathe, or not breathing. Now, I can't imagine the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through for us on the cross. I don't think any of us can. Hopefully, we never will. But he went through that to get us to somewhere spectacular. And that's the new heaven and the new earth that we will inherit with him. I'm sure if there's no sea, I won't be worried about it. I'm sure it'll be so spectacular, everything else will outdo that. Jesus went to the cross in order that we might share this new heaven and the new earth. Looking for some way to bring this all together and to try and make it very personal, I found that the words of an old slave spiritual. These are people who weren't living in particularly good conditions, as you might imagine, but they had a great faith in what the Lord had for them. Now, in earlier days, I'd have sung it to you, but I don't know the tune, so I won't do that. But I do want to read to you some of the verses. It's called the Gospel Railroad Hymn. Heard you not that railroad whistle? Lo, the gospel train is here. Get aboard, you earth-worn pilgrims. She is safe and naught to fear. She is built on God's own timbers. Coach is ample and complete. Rails are laid in faith and patience. Every tie a promised sweet. Storm-tossed sinner or life below, come on board this train today. There are stations rich in blessing, scattered all along the way. Get your ticket, God's forgiveness. Jesus paid the fare, you know. And his telegrams of mercy up and down this railroad go. We're equipped in God, in gospel armor, for the conflicts on the way. And our food is heavenly manna God dispenses day by day. Oh, the richness of his mercy, how it satisfies and saves, while the banner of salvation o'er our railroad proudly waves. We've a brave and true conductor, and the Bible is our guide, and the Holy Ghost supplies us with our moving power beside. All the brakemen are God's servants, standing firm at duty's post, carrying train loads into heaven, lo, a great unnumbered host. Soon we'll reach the heavenly depot, lo, its spires arise in sight, as we slow up at the station at our journey's end alight. Oh, the shouts of angels greet us, kindred long gone on before, and the station master hails us, welcome, welcome, evermore. All aboard, ere it's too late, we are bound for heaven's depot, where the angel porters wait. Jesus paid the fare, you know. Jesus paid the fare. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we can't imagine what you went through for us. What you went through, if only it had been just for me, Lord, you'd have gone through it. For any one of us, you'd have done it. Lord, not just physical pain, but mental torment as you took on us the sins and the burdens of each of us, that we might be able to get on that train to get to heaven. Lord, we pray for those here, and we will pray with you if you don't know the Lord, have yet to make that jump, to make that step, to accept the gift he offers us at Easter, a gift of salvation and grace with the seal of the Holy Spirit in our souls, waiting for the day when the new heaven and the new earth become resplendent and God lives with his people. Lord, be with us, we pray. Help us to look forward to your glory, but to work through the power of your Holy Spirit on the way there. For thy dear name's sake. Amen. There will be time for prayer afterwards. The prayer team will be here after our hymn. If you would like prayer for that or anything else, please do come forward. But if you made that choice today, if you said, Lord, I want to be on that. I want to be on that train. I want to get to that heavenly city. Please do come and join with the team here and they will pray for you. We're going to stand and sing, and after that, Andrew will come and close off the service.